Call the fisheries meeting to order at 5:01 on Monday, April the 7th. Present are Representative Hodgins, Representative Osterman, and Representative Ogan. Tonight we have confirmation hearings on the Board of Fish, two appointees to the Board of Fish, Mr. Ed Dersham and Larry Engel. I think what we will do tonight is just go ahead and have both the members that are applying for the board to give opening statements, and then have members of the committee ask any questions that they may want to ask. We'll probably do each one of them individually and then ask questions as each one of them testifies. Also joining us now is Representative Ivan. So let's start with Larry Engel. Are you on the teleconference from Matsu, Larry?
First, Larry Engel. Quinn, please.
Chairman Osterman, can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Okay, very good. You're coming in good here.
All right. Let me check and see. Mr. Dersham, are you on, Ed?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Okay, hang on for a little bit, Ed, and we'll get back to you in just a few minutes.
Very good.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Larry, why don't you go ahead and give an opening statement, and then we'll see if there's any questions from the board or from the legislators.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I can start with a little background. I was born and raised in the state of Washington in a small community outside of Seattle. My family was involved in commercial fishing in the state of Washington, and I was a crew member in their business. I first came to Alaska in 1958 and have lived here ever since, except the time spent out furthering my education. In 1958, I was stationed in the Navy in Kodiak. I had my first involvement with the Territorial Department of Fisheries at that time as the base wildlife liaison with the Territorial Department. I started to work with the Department of Fish and Game in 1960. And worked annually since that time until 1992. 32 years later, I retired. Short time after my retirement, I worked part-time via a business agreement, a professional business agreement with the Bureau on Fisheries Matters here in the Mat Valley. I was appointed to the Board of Fisheries in February 1994, I believe, by Governor Hickel. I've served my three-year term. Most of that time, I was the chairman of the Board of Fisheries, I believe, all but two meetings during the 3 years. Those are my background credentials. Why do I want to serve on the Board of Fisheries? I think the reason I want to continue to serve on the Board of Fisheries, if that's your wishes, are the same as they were when I first made my myself a candidate back in 1994. The fisheries have been part of my life in Alaska. A big part for over 30 years. They've been good to me. I was able to raise a family. I have two adult-age sons at this time. I have a small pension from the state. I have the time now to give back some in the voluntary capacity of some what I've received from the fisheries of the state. I believe I have the skills, the ability, the interest, desire, knowledge to serve intelligently on the Board of Fisheries and make those very difficult but nonetheless hopefully reasoned and unbiased decisions. I believe my record indicates that I've attempted to do that during the past 3 years. My record is there for you to examine. I've probably made decisions on well over 1,000 fishery proposals during my 3 years. I've spent more than 200 days in session under the public scrutiny during that time. So those are some of the credentials I believe I have. One other thing during the, to give you an idea of my interest in this, doesn't just end after the completion of a Board of Fisheries meeting. I've traveled throughout the state, make two visits to the Yukon River to become familiar with the commercial and subsistence fisheries in that area. Similarly, I visited the Kuskokwim River. I've been to Bristol Bay during the peak of that fishery and observed the commercial fisheries and made contact with at least a half a dozen fish processing owners and plant that I visited out there. I've been to the Copper River area to become familiar with the personal use fisheries up there during this past summer, and also the guided fisheries that take place in that area. Made numerous trips to the Kenai Peninsula to become familiar with those fisheries. I've been out to the South Peninsula, or the Alaska Peninsula, the places like King Cove, Sand Point, Falls Pass, to discuss those fisheries issues with those people out there. And so I think that's an expression, at least, in my desire to do a good job. So with that introduction, Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it open to any questions you may have. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Engel. Any questions from any of the board members? Representative Hodgins.
Yes, Mr. Engel, this is Representative Hodgins from Kenai. Tell me how you would balance the commercial fishing versus the sport fishing on the Kenai Peninsula, Cook Inlet.
Representative Hodgins, I don't know that I can balance them, but I know how I deal with those issues. I try to deal with them in a reasoned and fair manner to try to make allocation decisions. Those are the hard ones. The conservation decisions are very easy to make if you have sufficient information to make those judgments. Allocation, I think, is what you're talking about. Allocation is one of those issues in the fishery business that evolves through times. There are changes. Different gear types come into being, have to be spoken to and dealt with. Other users, such as subsistence, has been within the Cook Inlet area, and then it's been eliminated by court actions. But to deal fairly with all the fisheries, to provide as ample of opportunity and realizing that times change is what I attempt to do. And I do this by trying to listen to the concerns of the various user groups in the Cook Inlet area, as well as elsewhere in the state, take those concerns very seriously, and then try to deal fairly in the regulatory process with those concerns. So that's my approach.
Can I ask some follow up on that? How long have you been on the board? And is this one term that you've served, or more than that?
Representative Hodgins, I've served one term. I was appointed in February 1994 by Governor Hickel.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hodgins. Let the record show that Representative Cabina is here, and that Representative Cabina, we are hearing from Larry Engel right now. Representative Ogun, you had a question.
Yes. Good evening, Larry. Recently, we learned in the Fish Committee that the trawlers in the Bering Sea routinely have the tags, the wire-coded tags, taken off the king salmon on the bycatch, but nothing is really being done with those to put them together in any kind of a comprehensive study what the bycatch is and the origin of the bycatch. And if your appointment is confirmed, would you be willing to maybe take a look at that information and see if that could be made available to get a better handle on possible impact to some of the king salmon fisheries in Cook Inlet?
The answer to your question, Representative Ogun, is definitely yes, and I would extend it to even further than just Cook Inlet. There's some genuine concerns with the bycatch of king salmon in the Bering Sea relative to places like the Yukon River and Kuskokwim, big king salmon producers. We're taking certain steps in that regard just recently, the Board of Fisheries. Of course, the management of those Bering Sea fisheries falls under the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Anything outside the 3-mile limits of the state fall, for the most part, within their jurisdiction. The Board of Fisheries has just recently, this past winter, met with the North Pacific Fisheries Council and upon our urging, have developed a protocol, a committee of Board of Fisheries members to meet with three members from the council to look at issues such as the king salmon bycatch, to gather the appropriate information and to analyze it. Other issues pertain to crabs, and there's a number of issues that we have mutual dealings with and concerns with, and I think it's really healthy that we can have a committee like this start working with one another to ensure that we are sharing information, and getting the very best information, and certainly analyzing whatever we get. And I, by the way, I am on the Board of Fisheries side of that committee that works for the North Pacific Fisheries Council.
Thanks, Larry. So were you aware that information was being collected but not being utilized?
Yes, Representative, and it's been a real sore spot with me, and I have attended a number of North Pacific Fisheries Council as an observer and at times as a representative of the Board of Fisheries. And as a matter of fact, the Board of Fisheries sent a resolution of concern here a couple of years ago under my signature to the North Pacific Fisheries Council regarding the salmon bycatch. And chum salmon at times are a very serious bycatch also in the Bering Sea.
Absolutely. One other question, Mr. Chairman.
It's
my understanding that the Board of Fisheries did nothing about the possible commercial exploitation of sport-caught fish primarily by out-of-state residents with super RVs. Is that correct?
Representative Ogun, that's partially correct. In our meeting in Ketchikan, approximately a month ago or 3 weeks ago, we did develop a seasonal bag limit for non-residents only. The residents are governed by, and this is for their recreational guided fishery, in the whole entire recreational fishery. And for the first time, we developed a seasonal limit there that was different for non-residents than for residents, the residents being much more liberal down there. We had the same opportunity to do the same thing this recent meeting here just a few weeks ago for the sockeye salmon in the Kenai Peninsula, and the board deferred action on that until next year when we can look at this in a more comprehensive manner for the entire state. So there is some movement in that regard, but it's just the tip of the iceberg so far in terms of board addressing differential limits for residents and non-residents.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Yeah, for the record, I'd like to indicate that Representative Phillips, Gail Phillips, has joined us. We are hearing from Larry Engel right now. Are there any further questions for Larry Engel? Representative Padina.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to comment that I witnessed Larry Engel conducting the Board of Fish meetings in Cordova, and I thought he did a very good job. My constituents were pleased at the way they felt like they were heard, and I think they were heard. And I was amazed that under Larry's chairmanship, and maybe it's been this way for a long time, but to be honest, that's the first one I went to. And they just spent hours and hours and just a huge amount of time allowing the people to have the input. There was some controversy about where that meeting should be, and the chairman made a decision to go and hold a day's worth of hearings in Fairbanks and another day's worth of hearings in Glen Allen area, and then had the full board meeting in Cordova. So he really tried to take in everybody that had input into that area. So I think he did a very good job, Mr. Chairman. Him and others sent down a message about some of the frustrations that they had trying to deal with the charters and the guided problem, and I brought that to the committee here and to you for them, as you'll recall. And so, I got a letter here from me from the Dipnetters Association of a problem with them. I'd say that overall in my district, on all sides of the issue, Mr. Engels has been viewed very positively.
Thank you, Representative Cabina. Representative Ivan, did you have
something? Thank you. Mr. Engel, just a question. I'd like to know what your position is. Where I come from, the lower Kuskokwim, Bristol Bay, we always have an argument with the Falls Path folks on the interception of chums. And I'm just curious if you had made decisions if you were on board long enough and had to face discussions and what were your decisions as far as the false pass issue is concerned versus Lower Kuskokwim Bristol Bay, and what are your thoughts on that?
Thank you for the question, Representative Ivan. You brought to my attention probably one of the most complex and difficult issues facing the Fish Board, and that is the issue of interception of salmon in the False Pass, South Peninsula area, and how that intercept impacts other areas of the state in western Alaska. In the Board of Fisheries, since I've been on the board, have taken many, many steps to try to reduce that interception. To give you an example, formerly the people in the False Pass area fished during the entire month of June and the entire month of July, and their season ended in the fall. Currently, they can only fish about 2 weeks, starting of June 15th, and then their season is closed at the end of June. It's closed for 20 days in July. The Board of Fisheries has taken many steps to try to balance out the needs of those people out there, because their livelihood, is as it is in western Alaska, is almost totally dependent on the fishery wildlife resources. There are not many other opportunities for income. Unfortunately, we've not been blessed with a great deal of information to make the type of decisions that we would like to make out there. Because of the lack of information, decision-making has been difficult. However, it's probably the Board of Fisheries, since I've been on it, it's our number one research demand or request to the Department of Fish and Game to give us a better understanding of what stocks of fish, when and where, and time of the passage to that area, and where they're going. And I think we're making progress in that regard. We've got 2 years of information at our last meeting called GSI's genetic stock ID, where the fish caught in False Pass area, the chum salmon there, can be identified as to whether they're going to the Kuskokwim River or some of the other major rivers, or at least in large blocks of where they can go. It's difficult to separate out individual streams. So I guess all I can say is that I consider myself been very conservative and part of the restrictions out there. I've had to make those decisions on fairly scanty information. But I also recognize that the subsistence needs in the areas of western Alaska are of extreme importance, and it's been a driving force on my part to make some of those restrictions in that area, even though I didn't have all the information I'd like to have to make those informed decisions. Does that help you, son?
I appreciate that that response, and the that question is so simple for me, but quite complicated from your side of the fence. That I would be interested in if you identify some of the shortcomings, like the data from Department of Fish and Game, and maybe you could forward those for our consideration to improve the data that you say may be lacking.
Yes, Representative, I'd be happy to do so.
Any further questions for Mr. Engel? All right, thank you, Larry. Appreciate very much that you're taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Oh, excuse me. Representative Ogun does have another question.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I know you were trying to wrap up there. Larry, are you aware that the wire coating program in the Deschka River was a dismal failure?
Yes, Representative Ogun, it has been a dismal failure. They've been unable to catch significant numbers of fish, and it takes a lot of young fish to wire code to get the types of information you need when they're later returned as adults, particularly in faraway areas. I am pleased, however, that the department is continuing that program with their hatchery fish, and we have a large number of fish tagged here in the Willow Creek area and elsewhere in Cook Inlet. Hopefully that, along with the information from the Bering Sea bycatch, that some will start developing some kind of an understanding of the distribution of these fish for the Cook Inlet area as well as elsewhere in Alaska, and can make, again, some informed decisions. But we're right now, it's almost a total blank in terms of the migrational patterns, particularly here in Cook Inlet, where these fish are ultimately rearing out in ocean, where they may be susceptible to harvest by these different, more distant fisheries.
Representative Ogun, go
ahead. I unfortunately just found out that it was a failure here recently, much to my chagrin, and I've been kind of waiting for the data to come in to settle the dispute, particularly in the area of the bycatch in the Shelikof Straits. I'm asking a question out of total ignorance here, is it feasible to do an enhancement project with King Salmon in the Deshka River?
Representative Ogun, yes, it's possible. The issue, though, I think we need to resolve before we invest a lot of money into hatcheries supplementing that run is what's causing the problem. That run just 4 or 5 years ago was extremely healthy, and all of a sudden it's gone sick, very sick. And we need to identify, I believe, what are the factors, if we can, so that rather than pouring a lot of hatchery money into that, and maybe ultimately that's all we can do, but I think we need to take other steps before I would suggest we invest a lot of money in a hatchery program for the Deshka River.
Well, I would suggest, sir, that, those of us who live in the valley, and I know you're a valley resident, and I gladly fork over my $10 for the King Salmon tag, and I'd like to, I know that isn't your call, it's the department call, but I think with the support of the Fish Board, could get some enhancement going in the Deshka River. And the nice thing about that is you could put wire-coated fish in there, if nothing else, and then you could figure out, we could settle forever the dispute of where those fish are being intercepted.
Yes, Representative Hogan, that would be one of the ways to find the information you need, by looking at the hatchery fish as a research vehicle rather than a substitute for our misunderstanding or poor understanding what's causing the problem, and I certainly would concur with something like that. And a follow-up on your initial question, was I aware of this problem with the Deshka River? In my travels, I did go over there and visit the fish and game camps and looked at their trapping devices and felt their frustration of not being able to catch the fish last year when they had hoped they would be able to capture large numbers of these juvenile fish in coated wire tagging. So I was aware of this right from the get-go on this project.
Thank you. I wish I was. Representative Osterman, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions of Larry Engels? All right. Again, thank you, Larry, for joining us tonight, taking time out of your schedule.
Well, thank you for hearing me, and if it's your pleasure, I'll just sit here until you're done with Mr. Dersham, and if there's any questions, well, then at that time, it could come to your mind, and then I'll leave. That's okay.
Yeah, that'll be great. Thanks, Larry.
Okay. All right.
Okay, let's go to Homer. Ed Dersham, are you on?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't you go ahead and give us an opening statement, and then we'll see if there's any questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Ed Dersham. I was born in a small rural community of Western Oregon. I graduated from the University of Oregon in Eugene, Oregon, Bachelor of Business Administration. I spent 15 years working for the Drug Enforcement Administration of the U.S. Department of Justice. I retired from that organization in 1984. I worked in California, Mexico, and Alaska for the U.S. government. Between 1977 and 1984, I was also a part-time sport fishing guide in Alaska on the Deshka River. And since 1984, my wife and I have owned and operated a sport fishing lodge out of Anchor Point, Alaska, Our fishing takes place in the salt water of the lower east side of Cook Inlet, and we take fishermen out for king salmon, silver salmon, and halibut, and provide them with complete fishing packages. I'm a past president of the Anchor Point Charter Association and the South Peninsula Sportsmen's Association, and in those capacities, I've worked quite a bit on joint efforts with commercial fishermen in the Lower Cook Inlet area, and I believe that was part of the reason that when I was up for the appointment, the North Pacific Fisheries Association based in Homer and also the Cook Inlet Seiners Association supported my appointment. My reason for wanting to be on the Board of Fisheries, pretty similar to Mr. Engel's. I've been involved in fishing all my life. Fishing in Alaska has been very good to me, and I have a desire to give back to that. And I'm concerned about the conservation issues facing the fisheries of Alaska and the future that it's facing. And I just have a desire to serve on the board and add to that effort that's already going on with the current members of the board. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dersham. Any questions from any of the board members, committee members? Seeing none, do we have any comments from any of the audience here?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Covina.
Well, I'll be part of the audience. And I just don't want him to go away without anybody saying anything to him. I want him to feel like we're here and care about the guy. You have a pretty extensive working knowledge in the halibut charter business. There is a lot of controversy within the state between allocations, between commercial and sport. Why don't you just talk about it a little bit and how you might be able to help resolve it, or are you on one side of the issue or another? Or...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Covina, I have been involved in that issue. I forgot to mention that I was appointed to the Halibut Charter Working Group that the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council appointed in 1994, I believe it was. And I have been involved in that issue over the last 3 years. I feel comfortable with the current status of the negotiations and the current status of the North Council on this issue. I know they're going to be taking some more information, I believe, April 14th in Anchorage, and then they're planning it for final action in June, and I'm not sure what that action is going to be. But at this point, I'm comfortable with the process, and I'm comfortable with the information that has been gathered by the North Council and the input they've taken from all sides of the issue. And I feel confident that whatever comes out of their final decision is going to work for everyone involved.
Good night, Mr. Chairman. Living in the area, I assume you have a good understanding of the problems that the whole Kenai River drainage there has with set netters, guides on the river and stuff. Do you have any thoughts on better ways to deal with that situation?
Representative Covina, as Mr. Engel said, when those questions come up as conservation problems, they're a little easier to deal with. We just recently at the Anchorage meeting in early March, we dealt with a coho issue on the Kenai River that involved all the user groups. But since there were conservation aspects, that made our decision making a little easier, and we wound up attempting to cut back each fishery in a percentage reasonably similar to the percentage of the cohos that it was already taking, which meant that actually the guided fishery was the one that took the biggest hit there. But there were allocation aspects to that decision, but it was made easier by the conservation concerns. So when we come to strictly allocation decisions there, it's going to be more difficult and has been in the past. And the only experience I can draw on in that regard is we had a saltwater king salmon issue that impacted my fishery greatly about a year ago. It involved different user groups all on the sports side, though, but the way we attacked that problem was during the few months before the Board of Fishery actually meant to make a decision. We had several meetings at advisory committee locations and other places where members of the department and members of the advisory committees and the user groups involved met repeatedly and tried to hammer out a compromise, and we finally did hammer out a compromise, and again, there were conservation aspects to the problem we were dealing with, but we, through several meetings, we started off in positions where the different user groups hardly wanted to talk to each other about the issue, but by the time we got to the Board of Fish, we took a consensus position to the board, and I believe made their work a little easier in finding an answer. So I certainly favor that approach of as much prior meeting and input between the user groups as possible to help the board in its work.
Well, I appreciate that answer. I know there's a lot of hard decisions to be made on that and watching that board do its work, and I think it takes some real statesmen to be on there, and I hope that you'll be one of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have at least one person on teleconference in Kenai that wants to testify tonight. I think I'll go to the teleconference first and then come back to the to Juneau for more testimony if we need. Mr. Dale Bondurant, are you in Kenai?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right, go ahead with your testimony, please.
Thank you. I support both Larry Engel and Ed Dershman for confirmation before the Board of Fish. I've known Larry several years and seen him work in his capacity as chairman of the board, and I think he shows a lot of professional knowledge and is well respected for his decisions in fish resource management regulations. I haven't known Ed Dershman for very long, but I was I did approve of his approach in instructing his charter member charter clients to use common self common sense in self-limiting their personal use harvest. I thought that was a very responsible way to do. I think he talks to his clients and tells them, look, especially in the halibut fisheries, you know, you can only use so many fillets of halibut, and we'd like for you to not, you know, go after the total amount that you probably would be allowed legally. And I think that's something that is very good. We have a person that's out there pursuing the fish, and he's telling his clients, look, kind of self-limit yourself, and that fish for everybody. So I think both gentlemen appear to be very level-headed and responsible, and I favor the confirmation of both people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bondurant. Appreciate your testimony tonight. Is there anybody else on teleconference that wishes to testify that we may have missed? Hearing none, we'll come back to Juneau. Representative Phillips, you indicated a desire to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to put on the record my support for Ed Dershman for the Board of Fish. I've known Ed for many, many years. I've worked with he and his wife on many different issues throughout the time I've been involved in the legislature. And I just wanted to share a personal perspective of these folks. Number one, Ed Dershman is through and through an Alaskan and is extremely concerned about many, many things that go on in Alaska, not just with the fisheries industry, but many things that occur in Alaska. He and his wife are very good business people. They run a good business. They're fair to their clients. And he will bring those qualities, I believe, to the Board of Fish. And then, Mr. Chairman, I have seen Ed operate in extremely tense situations involving extremely irate and almost obnoxious people in issues revolving around the fisheries of the Lower Kenai Peninsula. And always he is a person that keeps his cool, that keeps things on an even keel, and that's been able to bring consensus between a lot of different people. I think this is one of the best appointments to the Board of Fish. I certainly do support it and would encourage all the members to support it. I'll be glad to personally talk with any members if they would be so interested.
Thank you, Representative Phillips. Any further statements or questions from the committee? Okay, seeing none, I support both members also. I'm very comfortable with both Mr. Dersham and Mr. Ingalls, and don't have a bit of problem with us forwarding their names to the Joint Senate House confirmational hearings. So with no further questions or anything, I'll entertain a motion. I think we'll do both gentlemen separately, but I'll entertain a motion that the appointment of Larry Engel be forwarded to the joint session for consideration and confirmation.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I'd object.
We've been moved by Representative Kabina. Objection by Representative Hodgins. Discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's clear on our letter there that we're not endorsing or anything. We've reviewed it, and that's all we're doing. I just haven't seen in any of the committee things where we've objected to forwarding the name.
Objected for purposes of a vote.
That's fine. Why we wouldn't have.
Mr. Chairman, I'm having a deja vu.
Huh?
I'm having a deja vu of last year.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask what the process here?
The process is as long as we
maybe I can clarify.
Move the names forward for confirmation hearing for the Senate. And
okay, I objected as a means of having a vote on it. I don't know if that's what we do here, like passing a bill out of committee.
Well, it's my understanding all we're doing is moving the names out of committee to a hearing.
Okay, I would remove my objection then.
This is not a confirmation vote that we're having.
No.
Okay.
You will have that opportunity at the joint session of the House and Senate to vote for the confirmation.
Okay.
Thank you. We had a lot of them on in labor and commerce, and we didn't even vote on them. We just said that we just signed the letter and said that we had reviewed them. That's all it did.
My apologies. I didn't understand the process.
Absolutely. You're okay. Okay. Hearing no objection, the name of Larry Engel is forward to the joint session. I'll also entertain a motion that the appointment of Ed Dersham the Board of Fish should be forwarded to the joint session for confirmation.
So moved.
Any objections? So moved. That is all we have before us tonight. I appreciate everybody showing up. We're adjourning this meeting at 5:39.